I'm interested to hear this review on Death Note, not because I like Death Note, because I don't, but because one of the things I know about Death Note is that they stole the idea from something else, and I love that. Hey there, you just listened to the song Utaoyo Miracle by Aki Toyosaki, Yoko Hisaka, Sato Misato, and Minako Kotobuki, as well as Ayano Taketatsu from the anime K-On! The second season. This is the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, episode 54, where we make your anime addiction worse by spoon-feeding you anime for the next hour. I am here with my lovely co-host Chiaki tonight.
I am very happy to be here with you, Mitsugi, so it is quite a lovely evening.
We buried Kimiko and Hitake in the backyard.
Yes, we did.
They're in the basement and then in the backyard, and that's the end of that.
No, that's not. They just had homework. I'll be back next week.
You can find us at www.aaapodcast.com, a lovely website that Chiaki made.
Aw, shucks,
Mitsugi. The anime character battle is about to wrap up. The final is Lelouch Lamperouge versus Vicious.
From Code Geass and Cowboy Bebop, respectively.
You can also find us on iTunes, which is where most of you are listening from, I imagine. Facebook, we have about 1,300 fans. Come join the ranks. www.addnetwork.net and thenerdnexus.com.
So all lovely websites.
Come drop on by, say hi, be friends, join the forum, say hi on the forum. We have lovely people on the forum, hi forum people.
You said forum like 10 times just now.
I know, I'm all jacked up on chocolate whey protein.
Yummy.
My liver is screaming. I think I've had about 250 grams of protein today.
Have you really?
Yeah.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah, after a 300 push-up, 100 pull-up workout.
Badass.
Anyway, so, one new forum member this week. This
Only one?
Kind of a slow week.
Guys.
It's a one forum member long name, Adiron Dakotaku.
Adiron Da Otaku. Maybe like Da as in the, like Da.
I don't know. It's a strange name. But welcome. We love you. And one announcement is that Terry Doty and Michael J. Tatum will be joining us for their episode that will be recorded on September 19th. So you can probably look for that one more like the 27th or so. And it's the 55th episode of the podcast, which is the next episode already.
Oh, shit!
Wow. And that's about all there is but to say about that. So, they're the hosts of that anime show. I'm not giving it a generic name. That is really the name, that anime show.
So, it's a good show. Hatsuke loves it.
Hatsuke loves it. There you go. So, on to the trivia. We decided that from now on we're going to announce everybody who gets the trivia question right for a given week because we don't want people to feel left out anymore.
And who doesn't want bragging rights?
One of the few things that maybe we'll make changes to. I was also thinking maybe we could change the way we do the trivia, the drawing. Maybe we could have like a point scale where you get like two points for a correct answer, and then we'll have like a special prize for whoever gets the most points over the course of 6 months or something. I don't know.
That could be interesting.
I'm always thinking.
Suggestions on the forum. We like them.
Anyway, so the people who got the question right this week, in no particular order, were L. Lolliot, Attic13, Grim Reaper Hay, Zed Diablo, PB Salad, Mikhail, Stop the Humans, J. Haseo, Cool Name, A Little Too Tony, and Roly1080.
And I think we shall now draw the winner.
And the winner is...
let me get out. Okay. The winner is... Cool Name!
Yay for Cool Name!
Congratulations, Cool Name.
This person, Cool Name, has won a shit ton of drawings.
They really have. I don't understand how they're so lucky. I promise, like, we're doing it randomly. I swear.
I want you to know the Cool Name mailed me $50.
Yeah,
and,
that's it.
And that's why he or she won.
The donation button on the website, you know.
Anyway, so the new trivia question's up, and hopefully Chiaki is going to make it a little harder this time.
Well, let me know what you guys think of the distortion trivia. Because I'm having fun making it, but if you're not having fun playing it, then...
Well, I don't know. Last week, I don't know if you were trying to make it harder this week than last week, because last week you had pre-tier, and only 4 people got it. This week you had Akira. I'm hoping this question will be a little harder for you guys, because I thought the last 2 were easy, but that's just because I'm me. I don't know. Anyway, so the podcast agenda. The making of an anime podcast. We will talk about everything you need to know to make your own anime podcast, so we can bury ourselves in our own grave by creating competition.
Actually... We won't really give you everything you need to know, because to find that out, you have to go to one of our panels where we talk about this.
Anyway, but we are gonna cover some things like generating the idea, the content of the show, equipment you might need, the things to know while recording, and building a website. So that's kind of the abridged version, but you're just going to have to suck it up and deal with it.
I think.
Also, we have an anime news break for you guys. Cleanse the palate a little bit. Then we're going to come back. And we're going to do 2 reviews. I'm going to review Otaku no Video, which I saw at Otakon for the first time. And Chiaki is going to review Death Note.
Which I'm astounded we haven't done yet.
Which is an anime that I don't care for, so she's going to review it.
And we'll, I'm sure, have a lot of good discussion.
Mitsugi is very good at admitting that he doesn't like anime that everyone else has to like.
I think people will be surprised how I feel about it, so stay tuned.
So, generating the idea for a podcast. This topic is being done for all the people out there that have been listening and they're doing their grocery shopping. Can't remember who that lady was, but hey.
I think it was a dude, wasn't it?
I thought it was a girl.
Was it? Yeah. I don't know. They're all traps.
Even if you're a girl, you're probably a guy. And if you're a guy, you're probably a girl. So,
yep.
I don't know. You have no gender.
It's the anime world.
We love you. Don't forget to buy your celery. It's great with peanut butter.
Low-fat peanut butter.
So, generating the idea for a podcast. The first thing that you're going to want to do is find the inspiration. We started this so long ago that I just remember that I started listening to a few select shows. The only show I listened to first was Anime Pulse. Anime Pulse, I know you're very popular, but there were several things Anime Pulse did that I didn't like. So I thought, maybe, why don't we make our own podcast? We can, you know, try our own hand at things.
And really, that's a key thing to do. Because you want to say, all right, what is out there in the podcasting world? What are people already doing? Because if you want to take the same formula that Anime Pulse does, you better have something that makes it amazing when you compare it to them. Because they already have a bunch of listeners, so... Why would people want to listen to your show if they can already listen to Anime Pulse, which they've been listening to forever? So having a good, clear idea helps not only going forward, but it also helps distinguish you from the other podcasts out there. What can you offer that another podcast isn't offering?
There's also some things you need to consider when picking hosts to do it with you. You have to determine if you want to be solo or if you want to do a group podcast. Most of the people on talk radio have one defined host, and then they normally have at least one other person that they frequently interact with. There's nothing more important to a live show or a recorded show than having dialogue in the conversation. It's without 2 people, it's just one person spouting their ideals over and over again. So I really recommend having a group.
The other benefit of a group is that, of course, you have shared labor. And while this doesn't necessarily always work out, and is something you will have to discuss with your other hosts up front, the more people who are invested in the podcast, the more likely that you will to have an extra set of hands that will help you out with things. From anything from editing the podcast to building the website, everyone has their own strengths, and it's really capitalizing on the strengths of a group. But of course, like I said, the cons are is that someone might not bring as much to the table as what you thought they would bring, or they're unwilling to really contribute to the podcast and spend a sufficient amount of time on it, because it is a big time commitment.
You also want to make sure that you pick the right personalities. You don't want to pick people that you conflict with. I mean, sometimes it's great to have some banter in a show, and I wish we had more sometimes, but you want to make sure that you're picking the right personalities, and I think doing podcasts with friends is sometimes a very good idea. Of course, there's also the old saying, you know, you shouldn't go into business with your friends because they won't be your friends for very long, but Kimiko Hatake, Chiaki, and I, we're all still friends, and it's been over a year, so I guess it's not really true. Not in all cases.
You just gotta have clear expectations from the start, and that's the best thing that we can recommend.
Also, the mission statement is very important. I know we kind of mentioned it. Having a unique goal or stylization is something important to set you apart from other people, but having a mission statement also lets you stay focused on a goal. Our goal is to make people that are already addicted to anime more addicted to anime. Thus, the Anime Addicts Anonymous. So that's just your typical example for your pleasure.
Right, and of course you see it in other podcasts, like our friends at Gundam. They are, if I may say so myself, the leading podcast in the mech world. And that's their thing, and they do it really well. So it's good to have a focus and stick with that.
They're also damn cool. Go check them out at GundamMAHQ.blogspot.com. You know, Soul Bro Ryu is having his housewarming party soon.
Yeah.
And we're invited.
That's because we're so cool.
Yeah, we'll let you guys know how awesome that was.
I'm sure there's a Gundam in the living room.
Maybe we should just get him one. We should buy him one.
We should buy him a Gundam.
Yeah, a Gundam lounge chair.
Yeah.
Anyway, so podcast content. You absolutely have to make sure that you're outlining your shows ahead of time. Nothing is worse than listening to a show that is poorly organized.
It's hard for the listeners, too, because if you have a show that kind of rambles on, unless that is your goal, and even if it is, it can be hard for the listener to follow if you're talking about one thing, talking about point A, then you talk about point B, then you go back to point A, and suddenly you're at point D, and it's hard to form a cohesive thought or story to the listeners.
Yeah, I think that's really important, and
plus it helps you stay on track.
Yeah, it really does. And also, making sure that having segments and breaking the segments down into pieces is also a very good way to help separate topics and help the listener stay on track.
Not to mention, when you do have guests that you bring in, it's easy to put them in to a certain segment, and it won't mess up the flow as much of your show.
You'll notice that most shows, all radio shows, have commercial content. Most radio shows have a different segment in between every commercial. So you notice that in about 15 minutes, we're going to have a break for some news, and then I'm probably going to run a podcast advertisement. That's our equivalent to talk radio's news. Or
yes.
Talk radio's advertising.
Mitsugi loves talk radio.
Talk radio is awesome. I listen to ESPN radio all day at work.
Colin Cowherd, you're there.
Colin Cowherd's my favorite. He's great. He has great opinions. He's not afraid to voice them.
Yeah.
So, also, user-requested content is really good.
Yeah, it helps a lot because, one, it gets people involved, and, two, it feels actually kind of nice when people suggest things for you to talk about, except for when you feel really bad because you have 49, like, review suggestions and you haven't seen any of the anime, so it's going to be, like, 100 hours to watch. But that aside, it's really nice when you have people contribute because then it really feels like you're giving back to the community. And you might not care about that, and if you don't, then that's fine. But we, at least at the AAA, that's something that we've always been about, is about the anime community.
We've been kind of getting away from the user content recently. But the truth of the matter is that we're all kind of in transitional periods in our lives. I just started a job. Chiaki just started grad school. Kimiko is doing 27 credit hours in college. And Hatake is a senior in college. So we're all very busy, so we'll get back to it.
Yeah, I mean, we try to keep up with the reviews, and honestly, the best way, if you want to request something that's going to get talked about right away, just as an aside, request a topic, because we love it when people request topics. Like, we have, like, we jizz in our pants. Can I say that?
Sure.
Awesome.
That's cool.
We jizz in our pants.
You also want to make sure that your content is consistent. It's very good. It makes the listener feel more comfortable, I think. You don't want to blow them away with random things all the time. They never have a chance to feel at home listening to your show.
Beyond that, there are things that occur that the listener comes to expect. For example, I'm sure people listening to this podcast don't really expect it to be more than an hour and a half. Whereas people listening to Anime World Order expect, you know, 2-3 hour long episodes broken up into 2 or 3 pieces that are each 2 or 3 hours long. So once you develop a form, stay consistent, because it's easier on the listeners, because I feel like if we suddenly dropped a 2-3 hour long episode, people would be like, what the hell? Rightfully so, too.
Yeah, I think our longest episode ever was like 1:35.
It was like, yeah, 1:35, 1:40.
And that was probably a bitch to edit.
That's another thing, too. It saves time on editing if you're consistent.
Holy hell.
Which we'll get, I think we'll get to later, but yeah.
Yeah, you also want to make the decision early on regarding spoilers.
Or explicit content.
That's one of the things I don't really care for about certain other podcasts, is that they don't hold back on spoilers. If they're giving an impression on a show, they will ruin every ounce of every episode they watch before they talk about it.
And that's, honestly though, that's just a stylistic thing. Mitsugi doesn't like it. I'm kind of on the fence. It's like, if you say it's a spoiler, then you say it's a spoiler, people have fair warning.
Well, it's like, people want to know if a show's good or not, and I feel like you can tell them if it's good or not without... I mean, what's the point of... If there's a show I think I might want to see, and I'm listening to you talk about it, and it sounds like I want to see it, by the time I'm done listening, I already know everything that happens in the first 7 episodes.
But some people don't mind that, is my point.
Wow, Who likes... It's like having someone tell you the end of a book. Why bother reading it? I don't know.
I've had people... Actually, when I read books, I read the end of the book first.
Why?
And then I start at the beginning. Because I like to know where the book is going to see if it's worth my time.
Interesting.
But my point is that...
Do you apply the theory to other things in life?
Like what?
I don't know.
But my point is that everyone has a different style, and you just need to be consistent, because if you're going to be spoiler-free, or if you're going to warn if there's spoilers or something like that, and then all of a sudden you're just dropping spoilers left and right without even saying a word that they're spoilers, people probably will get upset. Same with explicit content. If you're going to be an explicit podcast, that's great, but you should really stay consistent, because your listener base is either going to come to expect you to be explicit or non-explicit.
That's true. Make sure that you put your tags on your RSS
yes.
RSS feed, so you don't get thrown off iTunes. Anyway, so the next topic of business is equipment. I have seen all manner of equipment for podcasting. We just bought a mixer. We haven't used it yet. I'm not going to lie. We're trying to find mics. We're figuring out pricing, because mics cost more than a mixer. Life sucks. But you don't want to use your built-in computer mic. That is absolutely atrocious.
The worst mic you can use.
I would rather dive sharpened Q-tips into my ears until I puncture my eardrums and listen to a recording done with computer microphone.
Honestly, if you're going to do a podcast, it's going to be a time investment. And if you're going to invest that much time, do it right. I mean, you can go to Best Buy, invest $20 in a headset that's going to do you a lot better than your built-in computer mic. I don't care how good your computer is. The mic built into computers inherently suck.
Yeah, that's completely true. I mean, but if you're going to do a podcast and you're serious about it, I recommend buying a mixer. Mixers are... you can buy a mixer for any purpose for under $200, and you can get some nice pencil condensing mics for about, I don't know, $80 a piece.
And of course, check pawn shops and eBay for this, because a lot of people will do things like, I'm going to be a DJ, and then they realize it requires work and it doesn't work out.
Yeah, I found some pencil condensers, some LC2 pencil condensers on eBay. They're about $250. I found the exact same ones at a pawn shop, every single piece of equipment included, for only $150. So,
yeah.
So you might want to check that out. Also, software.
Yes, software is very important. You cannot make a podcast without software. If you're using Skype, which we don't recommend if you can at all avoid it, because Skype just creates a number of problems, but you'll need Skype, especially if you're doing interviews. You'll need Pamela or another recording thing to record Pamela. You'd need something to edit the podcast or record it if you're recording it in the same room. Like, Audacity is free. And you'll also, if you're looking at paid programs, there are things like Sonar or Acid that I've used that are good. There's Adobe Audition, and Adobe Premiere is actually what we use. Even though it's made for video, it's such a powerful program that it has a lot of audio capacity built in.
When we switch over to our mixer?
We bought a Behringer.
Yeah, we bought a Behringer with 12 inputs. But once we get that baby fired up, we're going to switch over to Adobe Audition for sure.
Yeah.
So if you don't know how to use it, look it up on YouTube. There'll be a tutorial on there.
The Adobe software, it is expensive as hell. There are student discounts, so if you're a student, take advantage of those. But they're expensive for a reason. They have astounding power. And I'll bring up Adobe again later when we talk about the website. But now that you have your idea, your people, your outline, your equipment, let's get to the recording.
It's time to record, people. I do a podcast length. I have been told many times the ideal length for a podcast is 45 minutes. I personally believe that anything worth talking about can't be talked about in 45 minutes. I don't think that's enough time. I've never heard of a radio show being 45 minutes long. I'm at work all day. I listen to radio all day. Every single radio show is 3 to 4 hours. So while I think that might be too long for most people to listen to someone talk about anime, because there's just not that much happening in the world of anime. Let's be fair. And I think that 45 minutes is probably not long enough, but you don't want to be longer than 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are some 2 hour long podcasts that have worked, again, like Anime World Order, but that's really what they're going for, is those really long, drawn out reviews. And so there's no set right or wrong formula to this, but these are just our suggestions. Again, as we said before, don't use Skype if at all possible.
Oh my god, Pamela is the worst piece of shit.
The problem with Skype is because everyone's connections are different. You have some people who sound this loud, and then you have some people who sound this soft. And they're all talking to each other at the same time. And it's really annoying because it's like you want to turn your volume up to hear one person talk and make their point, but then someone else laughs or something like that, and it burst your eardrums.
By the way, that's one of the reasons why you need to get a mixer. Even if you're sitting in the same room, you've got 4 channels, everybody's on their own audio channel, and the mixer will allow you to adjust the audio levels so that even if you have someone who has an incredibly high-pitched voice like this, and it's really loud and explodes and crackles, and then you got a guy with a deeper voice like me, you can make everybody sound appropriate so that it makes the listening experience more enjoyable.
Right. So Skype, sometimes it's a necessary evil. If you get a guest on, they might not live near you, they might not have the time to come to your place of recording. So it is a necessary evil, but the best thing that we could recommend is don't make a habit of using Skype. It is just a headache and a half every time it's used. Another thing that's good to have is a consistent recording time and place. Consistent recording time, again, goes back to that whole, like, listener consistency. People having a vague idea about when your episode's going to come out every week. And consistent place is definitely because you want to find a place that's quiet, and you want to find a place that, you know, you can sit for an hour or two, you won't be disturbed. But at the same time, you don't want to switch it around too much because everywhere has different ambient noise. At one place, the air conditioner might sound a bit different than another place, and, you know, you might have fluorescent lights, which actually make a soft buzzing that you can hear in recordings, but you can't necessarily hear it in the naked ear. It's just a number of things like that, that if you switch your recording place often, it'll probably show in your recording quality. And things that show in your recording quality are not normally a good thing. Consistency is key.
So the next thing we gotta talk about is editing.
This is Mitsugi's thing.
This is the biggest pain in the ass about podcasting, I'm not gonna lie. Editing is the most tedious, painful thing you will do podcasting.
But please, God, edit your podcast.
Yeah, nothing's worse than an unedited podcast. It just sounds like ass. You can't have a good podcast unless you edit, and a lot.
Podcasts that have long, drawn-out pauses, or people doing this in the background. Yeah, I totally agree with that point. Oh, no, hold on. The director was...
Plus, how are you gonna...
It sounds so bad.
Plus, how are you gonna put intro and outro music into your podcast?
Exactly.
Or fun sound effects?
Editing is a necessary evil.
Yeah, I mean, you can expect editing to take around 2 minutes for every minute of recording. That's not a lie. If your episode is 90 minutes, you will edit for 3 hours.
And yet another plus to short podcasts.
And it's particularly boring, especially since you already know what's being going to be said.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what you going to do? You got to do it. There's no other option.
Once you get good at it, though, you can start playing it in the background while you do other things, because your ear will start to pick up on the way people talk.
You know what you're hearing for.
And people will improve over time as well, in the way that they talk, and editing will become easier. So, once you have the podcast edited, and you have everyone, and you're getting into a groove, you gotta get it out there for people to listen to.
Get it out there.
The first thing that I recommend for everyone to get familiar with is how to make an RSS feed. And it's really simple if you just Google how to make an RSS feed. I think the Apple website is one of the first hits, and it has this really simple tutorial. It's really not too complex of how to make an RSS feed. I think I figured it out in an hour or two.
Oh, I didn't think it was so simple.
And, well, once you get used to it. It's not too complex.
I was like, our HTML, I'm scary, can't do it, head explode.
Aww, you did very well when you were updating it. But, I mean, if you're reading it from square one, you might have an easier time. But basically what the RSS feed does is it's what links you to everything else. It's what you tell iTunes to look to, what you tell, you know, the Zune network to look to, what you might tell other people accessing it from things like PS3s or whatever to access. Your RSS feed is really what gets you out there, but part of what you need for the RSS feed is you need a place to upload your files. And that, of course, would be a server. And this is where it kind of gets tricky, because servers, for anyone who doesn't know, cost money.
How many servers have we been through? Like four?
Well, we've been through two server companies, quote-unquote, but we've been through four separate servers, two on each of the companies.
Wow.
Switching your server is a pain in the ass. I'm not even going to go into that.
Well, a couple of them just couldn't handle our massive bandwidth usage.
Yeah. But servers you have to pay for, which brings me into the whole argument of a free site like Blogger or... You know, there are a lot of things like free webs where you can make a website and it has like a little thing like www.freewebs.com. And those are nice. The problem with those is that oftentimes they have advertisements on there because they're a free service. They have to make their money some way and you can't remove them. And they kind of look a bit unprofessional. Another thing is that a lot of times with websites like that, you don't have a lot of room for customization. And so you end up falling into this whole cookie cutter effect. A website that's really powerful, though, if you can learn a bit of PHP to customize, is, of course, WordPress. I'm a fan of WordPress over Blogger. There's a lot more functionality built into that. So if you're going to do one, do WordPress over Blogger and learn that. But I think, personally, you can buy a domain name for $10 a year, and you can invest in a small server.
Huh, not a good one.
Well, if it's an original podcast. Anyways, but domain names are relatively cheap. Go on GoDaddy.com, and you can find, like, monthly plans that are relatively cheap. I recommend getting your own server. If you're going to code your own stuff, you're going to need a program to do that, unless you're a badass
Dreamweaver.
And can do it all in Notepad. I use Dreamweaver. That is what I code on. I find it the best, personally, because you have split-screen view of what it looks like in
the browser as well as the code view. So sometimes you can do simple things with just the display view or the design view, whereas other times you will actually need to go into the code to edit things.
Oh my god, so let's see here. We've got Adobe, we have Adobe Photoshop, we have Adobe Dreamweaver.
Oh, I use the full Adobe Suite.
We have Adobe Audition, we have Server, we have Mixer, we have mics. I say it's about $1,000 minimum.
Just the Adobe programs are well over 1,000.
Okay, the Adobe programs are over 1,000.
But, again, these are just what we use, what we recommend. There are a lot of things that you can do that you can find on your own and you can play with on your own, and there's no one solution. But really the point is that I recommend having your own website to host things on, because you have complete control over that website. Any benefits you will receive, not a free website or blogger. You're not promoting them. You're promoting yourself and your own work. And it really just, you can have more benefits long term if you start out investing the time and a little bit of money into building your own site. Plus, it's kind of fun to learn.
Yeah, learning is fun.
It's a very marketable skill.
Some people like to learn. You can make a career out of it. Who knows?
Yeah. So, and of course with the website, you know, make it look clean, make it easy to flow, have a logo for yourself, I recommend, because it's really good to have things that people can associate with you.
You want people to recognize you on iTunes and, you know, whatever else.
Right, and it all starts with you, it all starts with brainstorming.
Who knows, maybe your podcast brand would be worth $10 million someday. Another big aspect of websites is search engine optimization. This is a term that scares the shit out of a lot of people, when in reality, search engine optimization is not that hard. There's really three main components that go into search engine optimization, and the first one is backlinking. The Google algorithms check for a couple of different things, primarily when they're ranking your web page on Google search results, and that's what search engine optimization is all about. The more links you have to your site on other people's pages, the more likely you are to have a higher placement in Google search results. So networking is very important. You have to network with other people. I mean, we have guest hosts on our show all the time. And
not to mention, it's kind of a lot of fun to meet new people,
right,
and get out there. And no man is an island, so everyone helping each other out is a great thing. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier. If everyone is fulfilling their own kind of niche, then it's not really true competition. Because I don't think people who listen to Gundam, who love mech and things like that, will stop listening to Gundam to listen to our show, or vice versa.
No man is a rock either, Chiaki. You said no man is an island.
Yeah.
I said a man is a rock. I am a rock. I am an island.
Wow. We just broke out a song.
And a rock feels no pain. Anyway, so also number two is how many people are visiting your site. So, sorry, that's just something that comes with time. Another one is your frequency of primary key search words on your website. If you have the word anime podcast on your page 300 times, you're more likely to get a higher placement on Google. So you just got to remember things like that. Also, your title tags and your meta tags are really important to ensure that people understand what your site is all about.
Yeah.
If your title tag or your meta tag isn't good, even if you come up high on a search result, no one's going to click on you. So
basically, it's that little one or two sentence gray description that appears under the link in Google.
Yeah, the title tag is a piece of code that comes at the top of your page. The title tag basically determines what the blue clickable link will say. The meta tag comes right after the title tag in the HTML code, and that basically determines what the non-clickable text underneath of the clickable URL will say. So if you check ours, it says something like an anime podcast, you know, with free unbiased reviews and stuff like that. So,
and really, once you have all this down, it's just really sticking to it. That's really the key, because
plug and chug, grind it out.
Yep.
Grip it and rip it.
I mean, I remember I remember when we were doing this back when Valentine was with us when we first started, and we were excited that we had one person posting on our forums in the days of the old forums even. We had like 3 people join, but one person posted, and that was like the highlight of our life. We were like, oh my god, someone is listening to us. And really, it's just remaining diligent through that. And granted, I still kind of get like happy butterflies in my stomach when new people join the forums and they start talking and we get to meet them and get to know them. But
yeah, now everybody on the forums friends. We've spun 2 other podcasts off.
Maybe we should have had this episode earlier.
Yeah, maybe. And how many posts do we have now? Over 11,000 posts?
Yeah. I know we broke 9,000. I remember that one.
We were over 9,000 way a long time ago.
But it's just keep consistent with it, because you can't have, you know, 1,000 fans on Facebook overnight. You can't have 100 people listening to your podcast overnight. People will probably not even notice that your first episode was released. But slowly but surely, with diligence, good networking, good search engine optimization, a good easy site for people to navigate through with good content, it's basically, if you keep with it, it's a formula for success, I think.
That's right, Chiaki.
Indeed.
Anyway, so we should call it quits here, I think.
We should, but if you have any other questions, please ask us on the forums. I've actually had other people from other podcasts that we've networked with that have said, you know, if you have website problems, please let me know. And they followed up with me on that, and I'd happily help them out. So if you're starting your own podcast, or if you're just interested in web design or editing, please ask us.
Go disseminate into the wind, spur yourself, and grow and flourish.
But if you do, remember the mama.
Just remember where you came from. Anyway, so we're gonna take a quick break now. But you know, when we come back, we got some good reviews. We're gonna talk about Otaku Note Video, which is a classic from the early 90s. And then we're gonna talk about Death Note, which is a future classic, likely.
Probably, I'd say so.
And you're not gonna believe this anime that has live action interviews in it of otaku people.
Or where Death Note might have really came from.
So, stick around. Hey everybody, it's Mitsuki here, and it's time for your first anime news break. So, getting started, the museum at the Fashion Institute of Technology, or FIT, is hosting an exhibit devoted to Japanese fashion starting now and ending on January 8th, 2011. According to the New York Observer, the exhibit is going to include around 100 outfits, including fashion styles such as Gothic Punk Lolita, Forest Girl, and princess decoration, amongst others. You can find more information on the event at the museum's official website, fitnyc.edu. The show's curator and museum director, Valerie Steele, told The Observer that Japan is one of the first non-Western countries to have a major impact on global fashion. Designers will apparently come from all over the world to Japan to generate new ideas for fashions in their own home countries. So, for those of you that live in New York City, you might want to go check it out. Next up, there is a new Gundam iPhone iPod Touch app available that was shown at the Tokyo Game Show. The gaming convention opened on Thursday, and Namco Bandai Games demonstrated 3 Gundam apps that are going to be available for the iPhone and iPod Touch. 2 of the apps are games. The first game, Gundam Fighting Spirits, is a 2D side-scrolling fighter with the anime franchise's mobile suits facing each other. Players can fight each other over wireless Bluetooth connection. I saw it and it looks very cool. An earlier version of the game has been available on other mobile phones in Japan. The second game, SD Gundam G Generation Touch, is a port of the SD Gundam G Generation Tactical Simulation game. The third app is basically a toolbox. The app will offer alternate ways to access 8 common features on your phone, such as email, and a telephone in a Gundam theme environment, so change the look of your phone overall. A little bit of business news. Navari Corporation, which is the Minneapolis-based company that owns Funimation Corporation, held a shareholders meeting on Wednesday and announced that the company received 6 indications of interest from possible buyers of Funimation. Now, Navari Corporation isn't selling Funimation because the company hasn't been doing well. Quite the contrary, Navari emphasized that Funimation's results have generally met their expectations. However, their CEO said that Navari would just simply be going in a different direction and strategy with its business. So we'll follow this news story as it develops and learn more about the fate of Funimation Corporation. So this has been your anime news break for today, and we're going to get back to the show.
Summer of 2008, a man named Fightbait started an anime podcast.
I watched Grenadier because of the tits.
And it was terrible. 2 years later...
Maybe his penis is the duck.
I don't know how you would put that in a woman.
Fightbait.com may still suck ass, but we're bringing you more content than ever. If you head over to the website, you can now find news, reviews, editorials, pictures of dogs, and more crappy podcasts than your ears can handle. You even have the option to subscribe to the podcast, the blog, or both. Fightbait.com, kicking ass on the internet for 2 years and counting, proving that quantity is better than quality.
Alright, so welcome back to the 54th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, where we continually and successfully strive to make your anime addiction worse on a week-to-week basis.
Huzzah!
That's right, Chiagi. Anyway, so now we are in the second segment of our show. Pretty soon we'll have new animes from the fall 2010 season to talk about. But for now, we're going to jump right to the review section.
Actually, sooner than that, our summer animes will finish.
Well, the summer animes will be coming soon too. Right about the time the impressions start up again, which is everyone's favorite thing, I'm sure. So now I'm going to talk about Otaku no Video, which is a show that is made by Gainax. Came out in the early 90s, 1991. So this is what you would call a classic anime, perhaps, done by director Takeshi Mori, who has quite a massive resume of things he's done. He directed Vandred. Let's see, what else has he done? He directed Gunsmith Cats. And he's done the storyboard and the episode directing for about a million other things, so check him out online. Anyway, so, this show. What is Otaku no Video about? Basically, Otaku no Video is about a man named Kubo, who is a college student. He's pretty basic. He likes sports, going to clubs with his friends, going out, not banging, but hitting on chicks. He likes to go out with his girlfriend Yoshiko, who is kind of his girlfriend, kind of not. Until one day he meets up with his old high school classmate, Tanaka, and then his life changes forever because Tanaka is an otaku, and he literally lives and breathes anime, manga, dolls, sell, trading, and all kinds of other nerdy stuff. And Kubo learns that when it comes to anime, resistance is futile, and he might as well just give into it and become obsessed with the addiction. Just like, you know, maybe we're not quite that bad, but we strive to make you addicted just like Kubo here. He also learns that to delve into the world of the otaku means to forsake all other life's pleasures, and thus he chooses to leave behind his past one goal in life. And thus, he chooses to leave behind his past to achieve one ultimate goal. You know what that is, Chiaki?
What is that ultimate goal?
His goal is to become the otaku of otaku. The Otak King.
Oh, man.
Literally.
That is a corny pun right there.
That's what it is. He's the Otak King. That's the term that they use in the show. So, this show, man. It's kind of a pleasing little tribute to the anime nerd everywhere. One of the things that the show really has going for it is that I think a lot of people can relate to this show. It basically really fleshes out what it means to be an otaku. unfortunately, one of the things about the show that's not so good is that it really is a show that shows its age. Let's face it, the things that made Up in Otaku in the early 90s really aren't quite the same now. So the shows that they reference in Otaku no Video are like really, really friggin' old shows, like Urusei Yatsura, which a lot of people probably haven't even seen, or Macross, you know, the original, which maybe some may have a lot of Gundam people on our forum, but
so it sounds really dated.
It's dated. It's from the early 90s. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. But nevertheless, being an otaku now is pretty much the exact same thing as it was then. You know?
Yeah.
It's you're a nerd basically. But this show is essentially what is called a mockumentary, and I hear this term on websites. I don't really know what the hell a mockumentary is, but I guess it's a documentary that's supposed to make fun of something.
It's kind of like, you could say that like something like or Bruno is a mockumentary.
Bruno is a, oh god. All right, pick a different example. That movie's horrible. It's disgusting.
Borat is a mockumentary.
Borat's a little bit less disgusting, if you can believe that. Borat is a mockumentary. So, while this show is not on the same level as that movie, it's definitely supposedly in the same genre. It's really a funny show. It's definitely a comedy. It really has a lot of good humor in it. There's an interview at the end of the show. Well, I should say that towards the end of the show, one of the things that the anime has, and a lot of people will either say this is a good thing or a bad thing, I'm just going to leave it up to you guys, is that it has live-action interviews in it with real otaku people. And
is it because Gainax ran out of money?
It might be, because Gainax always freaking runs out of money. So they have literal interviews with otaku nerd people that just try to flesh out what it means to be an otaku a little bit more. There's one particular otaku portrait, quote-unquote, at the end, towards the end, where there's this guy who's striving to have the ultimate anime VHS collection.
Oh man, VHS.
He's probably, like, the worst nerd ever. He's fat, and he has this piggy, this like, I guess his face is kind of piggy, like, piggy-shaped. I don't know, that's what this one post on this forum says. But, I definitely remember that he had fat, like rolls of fat coming out from underneath of his t-shirt. So it's pretty bad, but he speaks to the camera about what it like means to have a successful collection of VHS tapes. And he goes, actually, I don't collect all that much. And if you look around his room, his room is literally clogged with tapes and manga. It's like to the brim. And they ask him how much he watches, what he actually records, and he says that it's tragic, but he doesn't really have time to watch any of the anime that he tapes because there's so much new anime coming out all the time that all he can do is keep on top of the new animes by recording them. So he merely just records them for the sake of having the collection and not actually watch them.
That is ridiculous. But one thing about the show, though, is it sounds like it has a lot of anime. I mean, it is about otaku. It really is. So would this be an anime that if someone was just getting into anime, I feel like it'd be too many inside jokes.
There are a lot of inside jokes, but I think that people could pretty much relate to what it means to be an anime nerd, regardless of whether or not you actually are at that level of nerddom. I mean, people know the stereotypes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's the way that Kubo and Tanaka kind of team up in this anime to really try to become the kings of otaku-dom. It's really funny, but it's kind of sad the way that the guy throws away his life for his nerddom. And this is supposedly like an attempt from Gainax to kind of poke fun at itself and show where that studio actually ended up coming from at its roots. I don't know, I really found it to be a pretty enjoyable show. You know, it starts out with Kubo in an office job that he hates. And, you know, he literally criticizes people in his job, you know, you stupid nerd, like otaku nerds, don't call my office, I'm trying to take a nap, things like that.
Oh, man.
And then before you know it, he himself is sucked into the world of being an otaku nerd, and just, you know, it's just amazing to see the transition. It's a little bit short. The show's only two OVAs, so it's about an hour long. And the animation style is pretty good, but if you look at the picture here, it definitely has that old anime style feel to it.
Oh, yeah, but it is old, I mean.
Which I don't mind, because I get really sick of seeing like the glossy hair, pointy chin look, whereas this is a little bit more what you'd find in a show like...
It reminds me of Ranma One-Half.
Ranma One-Half type of thing. And that's just because they came out in the same time period, but it's kind of nice to see a change of pace once in a while. If you look in the picture here, Kubo, right in the front, is actually dressed up as Space Pirate Cobra.
Is he really?
He has the gun on his arm, see it?
Oh!
And then you've got the guy over here, who is, you really get some, there's cosplay in it, and a lot of other really fun stuff that a lot of people can relate to, especially if you already have been in the anime scene for a while. So, the show has its ups and downs. I mean, people can relate to it. It's kind of short. I think the interview's a little bit, obtrusive, at times. I'm going to give it 3.5 anime cell trading otaku out of 5. And I think otaku is both a singular and a plural word, so...
So it works out.
It works out fine. And, I don't know, go check it out if you want a blast from the past that's, pleasing in, ways that people can probably relate to. Anyway, so I'm interested to hear this review on Death Note, not because I like Death Note, because I don't, but because one of the things I know about Death Note is that they stole the idea from something else, and I love that because I don't like the show, and I want to hear you say something about it that will shock people that are blindly loyal to it.
Alright.
I'm also going to drink your water.
Yeah, you can drink my water.
Thirsty.
There you go. So Death Note. There are crazy amounts of fandom.
Too much.
Death Note.
Too much.
An insane amount of press with regards to the whole kids getting kicked out of school for having Death Notes and so on.
They should get kicked out of school just for watching Death Note.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And, it has such a big following with the whole Team L versus Team Kira, and I think, honestly, it's hard to be an anime fan in this generation and not know something about Death Note. So, I'm going to try to not do too much of the content because I'm going to assume that people know the basic premise, but for anyone who's lived under a rock, basically...
Talk to me, Chiaki. Pretend that I don't know anything about Death Note.
Basically, you have a guy who's named Yagami Light. And he finds, he's a good student, and he finds a notebook that's the Death Note. And he's reading through it, the first page, it explains how to use it, basically. And it lines out that he can write people's names in the book, he can specify how they'll die, if he doesn't specify, they'll die of a heart attack, he can put dates and times. Basically, it's a book that kills people through some unknown means at this point. He later finds out that this book belongs to a Shinigami named Ryuk. And Ryuk approaches him and basically explains more about the Death Note and that if he uses it, his soul is basically damned, and so on and so forth.
Does he ever say why he likes to eat apples so much?
I think this is something like they don't have anything like that.
Does he ever...
In the Shinigami world.
Does he ever do anything in the show except eat apples?
Yes, he does. In fact, I would say he has one of the most important roles in the show.
Really?
At the end.
Really?
Yes.
Alright. Talk to me.
But, so, here, Light, excuse me, slip of the tongue, Light decides to use the Death Note. And he starts out by using it to kill people he deems unjust. And these are people like killers and murderers, rapists, muggers, people who do bad things. And he starts to get this god complex and this... He wants to instill his own form of justice upon the world, and he wants to basically become God. And this persona he takes on is named Kira, which is actually kind of interesting because people call him Kira. And I believe the name was originally intended to be like the Japanese way of saying killer, Kira.
Yeah, maybe.
So, I found that a bit interesting. I'm not sure on that fact, but either way. So, as people start dying, there's some suspicion about these random people, but, still evil, quote-unquote, or bad, quote-unquote, people dying. And so an investigation is launched, And that's where you meet Elle, who is Kira's main counterpart. And Elle is basically the guy who's trying to find out and solve the mystery. And he's same age as Kira, and he's super smart, and it's kind of this cat and mouse that ensues. And really, up until this point, I have to say about the first 12 episodes of the show, maybe, I really enjoyed the first 12 episodes of the show. I thought it was an original concept.
I actually did too.
I thought that the cat and mouse that was kind of occurring was very interesting and dynamic. Hmm. I liked the characters, and I also liked this concept of, you know, a man playing God, basically. And so I thought it was very intriguing. And then, in my opinion, it started to drag a bit. Because all of a sudden, to progress the story, they had to create basically Deus Ex Machina, or God from the Machine, which is basically a clause to bail out poor storytelling. And what happens is you'd have Elle make these radical assumptions to progress the story so that way a cat and mouse could continue.
Wait a second, I'm on this, ready? Like, oh, he kills people between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock, therefore he must be a student.
Exactly.
Or wait, because he has the information about killers, he must be the son of a police officer.
Yeah.
God.
There are a lot of things like that, and very rarely, I can't think of one time where Elle is wrong. And they don't even take into account other explanations such as, well, let's see, who has people information about killers? Government officials, attorneys, judges. I mean, there's just a lot of these wild assumptions to progress the story, and it's like it was started to being built up as this like cat and mouse logical game between them, and it kind of ruined it for me, because it's like, if you're gonna have a detective mystery, you can't have, you know, you can't have every assumption be right.
And plus, Elle's a freak.
Yeah.
Rather than going out Dirty Harry style with his gun and doing some friggin' detective work, he sits on his friggin' feet and eats sugar.
Well, that's
a freak.
That's okay, that's a
Sorry.
Character thing.
Do you feel lucky, punk?
But, so it kind of drags, I think, a bit. There's enough excitement that goes on that, like, you're not bored, but you kind of have this feeling of, at least I did, of, alright, this is all well and good, but I kind of want to get back to that whole rebuilding society God complex thing, because that was actually the interesting part. And that something happens around episode 25. And I'm not going to say what that something is. But it rejuvenated my hope in this series that it would go back to that original plan of him making his new world order. And then it didn't. And that just crushed my soul. So I'm not going to say what happens around episode 25 for anyone who doesn't know, who really has been under a rock, because it really is a big event. But it's really, I thought it was going to go in a different direction, and then it didn't, and I felt like they were prolonging it because they went, oh shit, we want more of this, rather than going back to that original God society kind of deal, and I just was disappointed by that. The anime in its entirety is 39 episodes long, so really if around episode 25 it kind of peters off and drags, that's like, honestly, I watched from 25 on hoping that they would get through the part that was dragging, that I felt was getting away from what the story was originally intended to be and had ended up being a bunch of fluff. And getting back to, like, the root of it. And I watched it and was very disappointed at the ending. There are some things I like about the ending, but overall, I was very disappointed with how it ended, because I felt that there were a lot of things unsatisfied in the show.
Can you give an example, or would that be too big of a spoiler?
I think really the biggest example, without going into a bunch of spoilers, is just going to be something that they never do get back to, that him rebuilding society.
Mm.
And
it's a shame.
It That was really, for me, what made it novel. I mean, the characters were good. The characters were great. They had dynamic characters. They had interesting characters. They interacted well together. The writing was good. But it became too character-based for me when it started out as this grand plot base. And that was a disappointment. The other thing that I discovered later, and I talk about this in my History of the Horror Genre panel that I do at cons, is I found out about this manga. It's a one-shot manga. It's 24 pages. It was written by Mizuki Shigeru. And Shigeru is like the father of horror anime. He basically did for horror what Osamu did for the anime industry. But this one shot was written all the way back in the 1970s, I believe. And it tells the story of an ordinary person who one day finds a notebook lying beside a dead person.
No way.
And he realizes that many names are written in the notebook, the last of which belonged to the dead person who was lying there. Which, for anyone who's seen all of Death Note, that should say something. And he realized the potential of the notebook after testing it, which was the fact that whoever's name is written in the notebook dies. And then someone else finds out about the notebook, and suddenly this game of cat and mouse begins between the two people around the notebook, and the people surrounding them end up dying. And it's kind of one of those things where I'm sitting here going, no, it's not identical, but damn.
Damn, it's close.
Damn, it's close. And that, for me, like, I lost a lot of respect for Death Note, to be honest, because part of what I loved about it was this original concept. And true, in The Miraculous Notebook, he's not using it to try to create, like, a new world order, but at the same time, it's still... the whole formula is there. They just basically change characters, change setting, and there's no added Shinigami. Like, that's basically the difference. And that, for me personally, I just lost so much respect for Death Note after I found that out, because I don't respect things too much.
Because Tetsuro Araki stole the idea.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel that way, especially after reading all the synopsis of The Miraculous Notebook. And no one knows about it, because, like I said, it was a one-shot from way back in the day. But, that aside, like I said, Death Note has great characters, it has great writing, the pacing is really good overall, and a lot of people like the pacing. I mean, I think it petered off because of what I was looking for, but a lot of people still really enjoyed it, so... I won't necessarily criticize that too much. The animation is great. It looks like, obviously, it's newer animation, but it's fantastic animation.
Not new anymore. It's 5 years old now.
It's true. I can't believe that. Oh, God. But overall, it's a very enjoyable series. I think a lot of people can enjoy it. There's, you know, humor, there's drama, there's death. There's a lot you can get from it. But I personally have a hard time giving a good score to anything that basically copies its idea off of something else.
Preach it, sister.
Because that's like, I don't know. I have a hard time respecting something that is praised because of its original story when it's not really an original story.
What was the anime called again that I tripped off of?
It's not an anime. It's a 26-page one-shot manga written by Mizuki Shigeru. The Japanese name is Fushigi no Techno. But the English name is The Miraculous Notebook.
The Miraculous Notebook. Go look it up if you don't believe it. But you can't slam Death Note too hard, right? Because it's still a good show.
No, I can't. I can't slam Death Note too hard. So I think a fair middle ground would be 4 mysterious heart attacks out of 5.
Blasphemy. You're gonna get hate mail. People are gonna be throwing bricks through your window.
I think I can justify it.
People all over the country listening to this are writing your name in their death notes.
I'm sure they are, but it's okay because you guys don't know my real name. Ha ha ha, nor my face. Actually, you do know my face, but you don't know my real name. Maybe that's why we started with our code names, so we wouldn't get written in death notes. I think a 4 out of 5 is fair. I think there are a lot of fantastic things going for the series. I cut it down a bit because I feel like it got kind of lost and dragged on a bit. And I also cut it down because it's not an original concept, and that's what everyone praises it
for. Well, I got annoyed with L's detective work because it made no sense, you know?
And yeah.
He just made these impossible assumptions that didn't even seem like detective work. They were more like guesswork. They just happened to be right every single time. Don't know. Whatever. What else?
But, I mean, if you like it, if you're interested in it, I would recommend it to a lot of people. Especially if you're looking for a decent length series. That's my piece.
Peace. Alright, well, you want to wrap it up?
Late. Yeah, I think so.
The late night tonight. Gotta work tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Don't remind me, it's Monday.
Not looking forward to that.
Anyway, so, how can you find us? Good question. The answer, www.aaapodcast.com. Great website. We just wrapped up our character battle. And you can also find us at iTunes, Facebook, theaddnetwork.net, nerdnexus.com, and in your dreams. Right? Well said?
Yeah. We're hanging out there in the dreams.
Hello to everybody in the forum. We love you. We watch football. It's a wonderful thing. And for now, I will settle with telling you that the outro theme for today is No Thank You by the artists Yoko Hikasa, Aki Toyosaki, Satomi Sato, Minako Kotobuki, and Ayana Taketatsu from the anime K-On! The second season.
Have a great one, guys. Don't forget the milk and eggs.
And the bread and cheese.